I'm glad this morning to be able to greet you in the name of Jesus, the God that we were talking about and already worshiping, the one that gives us life. If it wasn't for the Word of God this morning, I wouldn't have anything to share up here. So thank God for His Word. For a message this morning, if you would turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'd like to read the first four verses. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Timothy, or Paul here, was addressing Timothy as his son. And also in chapter 1, verse 2, he says to Timothy, my beloved son. Timothy was a young leader in the church, and Paul was encouraging him to be strong. In verse 3 there, that thou endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Oh, back up to verse 1. He says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The grace that is only possible through Christ Jesus. That's the grace that will enable us to be strong. That's the grace that was going to enable Timothy to be strong. He was encouraging him to be faithful, to be strong in the battle against sin. Paul here, he was making a comparison of a soldier. A soldier that is engaged in warfare, in a physical battle. Be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. And that's the title of my message this morning, is A Soldier of Jesus Christ. I had to think about this group of young people that are here the next 3 weeks. We're here to study the Bible, aren't we? And I'm thankful to see so many young people here. That tells me that there's young people that have a desire to learn about God, and they're concerned about being a good soldier for Jesus. So I'd like to think about this morning, look at some encouragement, some admonition that Paul gave to Timothy, the kind of encouragement that you need, the kind of encouragement that I need to be successful in this spiritual battle, this spiritual warfare that we are in, as we think of being a soldier for Jesus Christ. You know, Paul could testify to the fact that this warfare is real. We know the many different experiences that Paul faced in his life. This warfare is real, and that it's only through the grace of that is in Christ Jesus where he was able to find his strength to be this soldier of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 10, verse 3 and 4 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. God created each one of us. We are here in the flesh. We are human. But God has provided a provision for us so that we don't have to walk after the flesh. We don't have to war after the flesh, but we can have God with us, Like verse 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. God's might is there for us to tap into. And we can find our strength in him to face the battle of sin, those strongholds that are trying to get inroads into our lives. It's only through God that we can overcome those strongholds. So we are, though we're in the flesh, but our warfare as a child of God, we're not found in living after the flesh. The weapons that we use as a soldier of Jesus Christ this morning are not for our carnal benefit, they're for our spiritual benefit. They're to help us fight this battle. They're mighty through God. Strength found to pull down those things that have the potential to get a grip on our life and to take us into this spiraling effect of sin. Those are things that hinder us from being a soldier of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. This is the words of Jesus, and he was talking to Simon. He said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. It's important that we are a strong soldier for Jesus Christ. Because Satan is out there, his desire is to have each one of you. His desire is to somehow get you in his grip. And the word sift here has a thought of cause to move. As a soldier of Christ this morning, Satan wants to cause us to move from being that soldier to being that faithful soldier. He wants us to change our allegiance to him and to follow him. So the burden or the thought in sharing this message this morning is thinking of young people. We're here to be encouraged in our walk with God this morning as well as in the next 3 weeks. And it's my encouragement that you put your all into it and be an active soldier for Jesus Christ. You're going to learn a lot of things. There's going to be a lot of study. But just like our brother shared, just turn your cup up, open your heart, and allow it to make a difference in your life. This is an opportunity that you have to study the Word of God. You're not trying to be at your job on time. You don't have your schedules at home. You have a schedule here. And it's all centered around being at your classes and learning about the Word of God, being a soldier for Jesus Christ. I'd like to look at 5 points this morning, taken from these verses that encourage us to be strong in the grace that God has given us, to be a soldier for Jesus Christ. And the first one I want to look at is in verse 3, endure hardness. My first point. How do we endure hardness today? In today's culture that we live in, how do we endure hardness? You know, we live in a time and a place where things are relatively easy in comparison to a lot of other parts of the world. We don't have a lot of political unrest. This is a land of freedom. We're here openly worshiping this morning. We're not worried about soldiers coming in the back door and taking our lives and taking us to prison. We have things relatively easy. Thank you. thinking about how they used to do things back 100 years ago. We have jobs that are decent, decent wages. We have comfortable housing, comfortable vehicles to drive. We have communication through technology. Travel is easy. Most of you probably either just got in your comfortable car or pickup or your vehicle and you drove out here to Bible school. Stopped. Whenever you got hungry, you stopped and you took care of those hunger pains. Whenever you needed gas, you got gas. Or maybe you just went to the airport and flew out here. Conveniences. We have a lot of equipment that makes our work easier. So there's many conveniences that are nice, and we call them necessities. You know, this is the life that we live in. This is our pace of life. We hardly know anything different, most of us. All these things are part of our culture, and they've become our norm. Paul says endure hardness. Is Paul advocating that we make life as difficult as possible? What does he mean, endure hardness? 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, brings out the thought of enduring affliction. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Enduring hardness, I believe, can be translated into enduring afflictions. Why would God say we are to endure afflictions? Afflictions aren't comfortable, they hurt. Why would God allow, in my experience, some form of affliction? Something unpleasant. Does God really want us to suffer in any way, shape, or form? Does he want us to go through some pain? Paul faced many afflictions, didn't he? He was imprisoned. He was in that shipwreck. He was tried and he was tested for his faith in God. What about us? What does God have for us sometimes? Practically speaking, what might some of those afflictions be? We could think of maybe financial reverses. We could think of death, sickness, maybe a sleepless night because of a burden on our heart. We're struggling. Wrestling in prayer for a difficult situation. We talked about strongholds before, facing the enemy. We have that potential where we have those strongholds that are potential to lead us into sin, temptation. The church in North America as a whole doesn't face extreme physical persecutions like some places. But we have negative influences and pressures that Satan uses to try to attack the Church of Jesus Christ. Enduring afflictions, enduring the difficulties of life, I believe is a component to being a good soldier for Jesus Christ, to be strong. God uses those things to strengthen us. Hebrews 12:11 says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Enduring hardness, afflictions that God brings into your journey are not pleasant. It says that, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous." Those things are not something that we enjoy, but they're designed to bring fruit for God, fruit in our lives. They're designed to refine us for the work that God has for us to do. So if God chooses to take you through the valley of affliction, remember it's designed to strengthen you and to being a good soldier for him. God needs soldiers like you this morning. Point number two is in verse 3, the second part there, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Being a good soldier. What is a good soldier? What does Paul mean when he's talking about good? I had read an article of, it gave the definition of a good soldier from the U.S. Army's website. It said this: qualities of a good soldier include reliability, fearlessness, discipline, consistency, courage, motivation, and skill. Good soldiers must be prepared to exceed abilities, be diligent in getting the task completed, and stay focused on safety. Furthermore, the seven values of the U.S. Army are loyalty, duty, respect, selfless services, honor, integrity, and personal courage. Together they form the acronym of leadership. I'd like to look at each one of those, thinking of a good soldier of Jesus Christ, I'd like to look at each one of those values as applying them to us as being a soldier of Jesus Christ. We're not talking about being a soldier in the military. We're talking about being a soldier for Jesus Christ. But I think there's some things that are for us today as we think of being a soldier of Jesus Christ. And I'd like to just put those seven points on the board here. So the first one, thinking of being a good soldier, we think of loyalty. Loyalty is something that is allegiance or dedication. It's commitment. We know that in the physical aspect of being a soldier, if they're going to be a part of the army, there's going to need to be loyalty to that side. And it's important. It all has to do about being successful in winning the battle. And what about you and I as a soldier of Jesus Christ? Being a soldier of Jesus Christ requires commitment. It requires a commitment to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, a commitment to serve Him with our whole heart. In Deuteronomy 10, verse 12, this was God's words through Moses to the children of Israel. And what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Commitment. The words of Jesus in Mark 12:30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. So loyalty, commitment is important as we think of being a soldier for Jesus Christ. Loving the Lord with all our hearts. What does that mean? Does that mean that there's a corner in my heart that I can keep to myself? It means an unreserved heart, giving it all to God. That's what God wants from us. It's then that we can find and feel His strength and His grace there to sustain us and to help us. If we think we can be a soldier for Christ and kind of give a partial commitment, when we face the pressure of the enemy, the adversary, we will struggle to be able to find victory. God needs our whole heart this morning if we're going to be successful in this battle. The next point is duty. God has provided salvation for each one of us. God has redeemed us by His life. It's through His life that we can be saved, through the blood that was shed, that we can be saved. Don't we have a responsibility back to him? Isn't it our duty and responsibility? Isn't it our obligation as we think of being a soldier for Christ to serve our King and to be active in building his kingdom? It's our duty. Luke 17, verse 10. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all of those things which are commanded you, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. It's our duty as a soldier of Jesus Christ to work for God, to build his kingdom. Number three, respect. Respect is to reverence, to esteem. Being a good soldier of Christ brings an attitude of respect, honor to our heavenly captain, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Jesus Christ is the foundation that the Christian life is built on. He's the head. We think of a cornerstone, it's what, where the whole building is tied to and connected to. And as a soldier of Jesus Christ this morning, Christ is our head. We are to honor and we are to respect and reverence him. Colossians 1:8, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning from the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. 1 Peter 2:7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Is Jesus precious to you? Is the fact that Christ is the foundation, is that a precious thought to you? What other foundation would you want to build our Christian life on? But unto them which are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. The next one is selfless service. Selfless service is, as you think of a soldier that's going into battle, there's possibly other things he'd rather do. He may rather stay at home. He may rather go fishing. He may rather do his own job that he likes to do. But he is called into service. And what about us this morning as soldiers of Jesus Christ? God calls each one of us. Are we selfless in giving our service? Selfless service is being unselfish, thoughtfulness. It's the virtue of not putting myself first, but willing to put others first and to give our time, our talent, our money, our effort to the work and service of the King. Being willing to sacrifice our life, our living and our giving for the kingdom. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Thinking of selfless sacrifice. Next point is honor. Honor is to tribute or to recognize. We think of, again, the comparison to a soldier. We know there's honor that is given to soldiers. Other soldiers honor other soldiers. As a soldier of Christ this morning, we need to honor our master. We need to honor fellow soldiers of the cross. We need to honor those that are in authority, those that are over us. 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and in doctrine. Number 6, integrity. Integrity is being honest and uprightness. It's to adhere to a moral and godly principles in our dealings with mankind. And we know that there's a lot of things that happen out there in our society, in our world, that are anything but that. But the child of God this morning is to be one of integrity, an honest and upright life. 1 Peter 2:12 says, having your conversation or walk of life honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they show, behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. A good soldier, a response of integrity in any situation. You know, there's sometimes that can be tested. We can be put on the test for that. When it means, maybe if it affects our wallet, it's always important to be a person of integrity. Personal courage. Personal courage is determination and endurance. It's a quality of the spirit that enables you to face danger or pain without fear. Personal courage. This thing of being a soldier for Jesus Christ takes personal courage, doesn't it? So we think of a soldier in battle, being on the front lines, it would take personal courage to face the enemy in that way. But this morning we face an enemy. Turn to 1 Peter 8, or 2, verse 8. Should be able to say that by memory. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. This adversary that we're facing, that we face, is walking about like a roaring lion. Is that how you look at our enemy this morning? As a roaring lion? I think if we would stop and consider the aspect of a roaring lion, and the fact that we are facing this roaring lion every day when we go out and go about. He's a roaring lion. He comes to us. He's not fearful. We think of a roaring lion as absolutely fearless. If we can think about our adversary that way, and we are facing this adversary that is absolutely fearless and wants to overcome us, I believe that I think it will help us to take this thing of being a soldier for Christ a little more serious. We can't do it in our own strength. It's only by the help of God that we can face this roaring lion. Philippians 1, verse 27b and 28 says that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. It's only by God's grace this morning that we can face that adversary, that we can have that personal courage to face him square on. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 20. Be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, and be not dismayed, for the Lord thy God, even my God, will be with thee, and he will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Being a soldier for Christ takes courage. But remember, God is with us. And he will never fail you. He will never forsake you. until thou hast finished all the work of the service of the house of thy Lord. And that is a promise, that is a comfort that any soldier for Jesus Christ can have this morning. That God will be with us until our work is done here on earth. So we've looked at some of these values, these seven values that from this article that I had read on a soldier. So as we think about these values as being a soldier for Christ, we would conclude that being a soldier, a good soldier, is nothing other than a follower of Christ. One that has committed his life to the service of the King. You know, it's impossible to be a Christian without being a soldier. As soon as we identify with Christ, we are on a battleground, we can say. We're placed in a battle. The forces of good and evil become in combat to each other. So we need the weapons. We need weapons to fight this enemy, this battle. The weapon of prayer, a weapon of faith, praying for each other. Together, we're in this battle. We're not alone. We're together to fight this enemy. 1 Timothy 6, verse 11 and 12 says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Being a good soldier is not optional if we're going to be successful in this battle. It's our duty if we're going to be found victorious. If we're going to be faithful, if we're going to be able to lay hold on eternal life. And I believe that's one reason why you're here at this Bible school term, to take time to study, to grow in our understanding of God, in our faith, in laying hold on those eternal promises so we can be successful in the battle. Point number three that I had, coming back to our main points, is don't be entangled with the affairs of this life. Verse 4, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." The definition of entangled is to be ensnared. It's to be wrapped up. It's to be twisted together, be interwoven to a complicated or confused. And that's what Satan wants any one of us, each one of us, to be somehow wrapped up and twisted up into the world system. No man that warreth, thinking of this spiritual warfare, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Paul's saying here that no one that is in this spiritual warfare is going to allow himself to become ensnared in this spiral of sin and its consequences. You know, we live in this world, and it seems like it's so easy to become entangled with the affairs of this life. It's easy to somehow get kind of our focus off of being this soldier for Christ. Somehow we kind of try to have maybe a foot in both camps. It kind of comes to us in a deceptive way, sneaks in on us. And we can think about our work, spending money, our recreation, We can think of sports. We can think of technology. All these things are, they can be good and right in their place. We all enjoy a good game of volleyball. We enjoy working. We enjoy the use of technology. We enjoy going on a vacation. We have money to spend. These things have their place, but when these things consume us, when they become a stronghold on your life and on my life, I believe that's when we're on the path to being entangled. Let's turn to 1 John 2. John 2:15-17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. And the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. John 17:15. I pray that thou shouldest take them out of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. You know, we are in this world, but we don't have to be of this world. So could we say it's possible to be in this world, but it's also possible to not be entangled in the things of the world, what the world has to offer? That's what militates against being a good soldier. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Living a double standard, a double life, an undivided heart, makes one's life a complicated and confused state of mind. It becomes an entangled heart. But thank God that there is a way that is over and above that. Point number four is to please God. The thought of pleasing God with our lives is a foreign concept to the world that we find ourselves in. You know, it's all about promoting me. It's about promoting myself. About promoting others. We think of the business world. It's living for self. We see all kinds of advertisements, billboards, calling for us to indulge in our passions and desires. If it feels good, do it. Is the concept that is rings out from our society. But verse 4 says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him. Romans 8:8, so that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. As a soldier of Christ, our aim needs to be to please the Father by the lives that we live. That was Christ's example of this. And John 8:29 says, for I do always those things that please him. So being a soldier of Christ this morning, do our lives please God? Or who do they please? Do I strive to please our Master? Is God pleased with my service as a soldier of Christ? Colossians 1:10 says that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful. May we as good soldiers of Christ walk worthy. Live our lives in a way that is pleasing to the Father and be be fruitful for him. Point number five I had was God chose you to be a soldier. God needs each one of you as a soldier this morning. Everyone that has entered into Christ's kingdom, everyone that has been born again, is called to be a soldier for Jesus Christ. He gives us the choice to be a Christian. But we need to choose this day whom you will serve. You know, choosing to be a Christian without being a soldier is like saying we're saved without the cross. And that doesn't work. Being a soldier for Christ is only through the cross. And you know, in our modern Christianity, confuses our cross experience. With you can continue as you always have been. Just add Christ to your lifestyle. We know that that's false. That's false. Christ in us will change our lives. It will make us a different person. It'll change our perspective. It'll change who we are. It'll change my focus. Ephesians chapter 6, we won't take the time to look at that. I need to finish up here. Is the mandate, we could say, for stepping forward and being a soldier in this spiritual warfare. It gives specific instructions on how to wear each piece of armor in preparation for this battle. A genuine soldier is one that is committed to do the Father's will. And Jesus did just that. In John 4:34, he said, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. I don't know what you get out of that verse, but what comes to me when I read that verse is thinking of meat. Meat is something that gives us physical strength. It's something that we enjoy and we eat it, and it gives us strength to do our work and to be up and about. Jesus is saying here, he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. That's where he found strength, in doing God's will. And that's where you and I can find our strength, in doing the will of God and being a soldier for Jesus Christ. I'll read a quote here at the end. God has chosen you to be a soldier in his army. Go forth wearing the badge with honor. Join his army and engage the enemy. May God bless each one of you as you take up the challenge of being a soldier for Jesus Christ.